One of the things that I love so much about the church here is how giving we are. And those of you who have been here for years now, you know on several occasions we've raised money for different reasons, and we've always pulled through. And that's part of being the people of God. God has given so much to us, and we give back, don't we? And so I've just always appreciated the hearts of the church here, of all of you. And somebody has said we're never more like God than when we give, and that is so true. God gave it all. God gave of Himself. Before we get into the lesson this morning, I know some of you have asked about my time away. The week before last, I went to Walden with Marty Trujillo, who is the preacher at Pleasant Valley. And we went bow hunting up in the Walden area, and we stayed with Don Shellhouse. Now, some of you, I think some of you have met Don. He's been here a few times with his wife, Luann, and they're members at the church in Walden. And it was a great time. Not only did we get to get away, but we also spent a lot of time encouraging each other, talking about the work in Walden. Some of you here this morning have been involved in that work. And I just want to put a little plug in here for that work really quick. I know that they are encouraged by what we're doing there in Walden. There's so many works going on here. That's just one of them. And talking with Don, you know, because they're a small little group. Some of you that have been up there, you know, sometimes on Sunday they'll only have, there's been times they'll have less than 10 people. I think some of you have said you've been up there when there was like 4 or 5 people. So you can imagine when we get a busload of our truckload of our members and we head to Walden, the singing, the giving, the preaching, the fellowship, what an encouragement that is to them. So we're doing a good thing there. It was a good time. We got to really encourage that family and work there. They're just an extended family of ours. The real good news is, on this trip, Ron did not lose the keys. Remember last year, my story, I lost keys on that hunt. I didn't lose keys this year. I do have to confess, though, I've developed a really bad habit. I wear kind of like some hunters like a backpack, depending on how far out you go. If you go real far, you need a backpack. But I've got a little fanny pack, and it's got pouches on it, and you put your water bottle, you know, you can put your wallet on one side, your granola bar in the back or whatever. Well, I had placed my cell phone and my keys together, and I had this habit of continuing to look to make sure that the keys were still there. So developed a little, no, but it was fun, and I had a good time, and I do appreciate the time away, and I appreciate Walter for covering for me last week. He did a great job. C.S. Lewis said, and he's had many tremendous quotes, but he said, aim at heaven and you get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you get neither. I think that's a tremendous quote. We've been spending our time in Ecclesiastes, and the preacher brings up some very important lessons for all of us to learn. And although he doesn't specifically talk about heaven per se as we think of heaven, he does deal with this idea of aiming at earth. And he would call this aiming at earth life lived under the sun. And really what he is talking about is a life that is without God, where this place where we dwell and all the things that this life offers is where your attention is centered, where your life is focused, where this is all that your life is. He said in chapter 1, verse 3, what advantage does man have in all of the work which he does under the sun? And then he'll say later in that chapter, verse 14, he said, I've seen all the work which has been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after the wind. Remember, we focused on the very first lesson that you can't strive, you can't ball up the wind, you can't catch the wind. That's the thought of life lived under the sun. We focused on the first lesson, the purposeful life. And I bring our attention to the preacher. We break it down in 5 sermons, and we probably could break down in more. The first one was meaningful life, the life that you can hang your hat on. And that's the life with God. second lesson, we kind of steered away from sermon concept because there was a transverse where he talks about this longing that is within us, that God has put eternity in us. Very fascinating to me. That there is a desire within us that we didn't put there for something that is greater and beyond us. That's why this life doesn't satisfy. And he brings that to our attention, doesn't he? Where he says the eye is not satisfied with seeing, the ear is not satisfied with hearing. There's nothing in this world big enough for us. Because God has created us for bigger, greater things. And I believe that God put that within us. This morning we're going to look at the second sermon. It's interesting, and this one really spoke to me this week. They all do, all lessons do. Sometimes they hit you a little different at different times. But he's going to talk about the topic of worship of all things. He's going to talk about what their attitude is to be before they go into the presence of God. And I hope that we will all listen to this. Our attitude towards God in worship. Let me illustrate it this way. A friend of mine has a picture. I saw it years ago in his office. And it'd make a great PowerPoint. I need to get a copy of it so you could use it for a lesson. But it's a picture of a stop sign. You know, on a stop sign, you have the road going one way and the road going the other, whatever the streets are. Well, this picture, there's the stop. This is all it is. A great big red stop sign. One of the roads one way says, ponder. And the other going the other way says, listen. Stop, ponder, and listen. You know, what I thought about that as I was working through this passage of Scripture, through the sermon by the preacher in Ecclesiastes, we're going to be in chapter 5, so if you want to turn there, we're going to look at the first 7 verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. But we sum up this section by saying that when you go to the house of God, we need to stop, ponder, and listen. That's not always easy to do, is it? We're so busy. We come from different places in the week. We've had different challenges during the week. We come in here, our minds in all different directions, thinking about all different things, when he's going to reveal that our mind needs to really be at one place. Because you see, we're not just before one another. Although we don't see God, God is in our midst. God is in our presence, and that sobers me. To think that I am standing and we are standing here in the presence of God, worshiping God. This morning has been worship to our God. As we sang songs to Him, as we broke bread together and we drank the cup together, there should be an activity that is going on. And that activity that's going on is going on up here in our mind. And God's there. And God is here. I've titled the lesson this morning, Think Before We Speak, and that's an indictment against myself. There have been many times in my life where I have spoken, whether it be to you or to our God, and I didn't think before I spoke. Anybody ever been in my shoes there? Think before we speak. And that's never more true and important than when we come into this place. As we stand and sit in the presence of God and one another, to think before we speak. Let's begin to read. I'm going to read this to you. Let the Word of God speak to you. The preacher says, guard your steps as you go to the house of God. Draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. For they do not know their doing well. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For the dream comes through much effort and the voice of a fool through many words. When you make a vow to God, don't be late in paying it, for he takes no delight in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Do not let your speech cause you to sin. Do not say in the presence of the messenger of God that it was a mistake. Now, the messenger of God in the context here is the priest. Remember, we're under the old covenant. You would go before the priest and you would say your vow, and you would bring it before God in that way. Do not let your speech cause you to sin. Do not say in the presence of the messenger of God that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry on account of your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For in many dreams and in many words there is emptiness. Rather, fear God. You're going to find he's going to conclude, eventually we'll get to this, not this morning, but in the final lesson of this topic of fear again, because he always brings it back to that. We need to remember who we are living for. We need to remember when we come together who it is that we are here for. Let me illustrate before we break down this text here. Most of us will leave here today. We'll go eat lunch, go home, and then about 2:30, we turn on the Bronco game. Maybe some of you won't, but probably many of you will. You've been watching the Broncos. Peyton Manning, the quarterback, is tremendous. He's amazing, just an amazing football mind. And knows the game so well. But if you watch him, you know, and I've shared this before, how he will change a play. They call it an audible, you know, at the line of scrimmage. But you ever listen to Peyton Manning talk when he's behind? I mean, you can hear it. He's mic'd up. You can hear him when he's behind the center or when he's in shotgun, getting ready to receive the ball or have the ball hiked to him. He's yelling out all these things. And I heard some strange ones the other day. I heard him say, and I don't know if he's calling out new plays or what, but communication, he's communicating. But he'll say, you'll hear him say, hurry, hurry, hurry. Do you hear him say that? Over and over. And I don't know if that has to do with the hurry of offense. And that's working really well for them. When they execute, it's amazing. As they hurry up, it puts the defense on edge. That is so good in football. It works so well when the team is executing their plays on offense in a hurry. But when it comes to being in the house of God, when it comes to worship, that couldn't be the furthest thing from the truth. For us to be in a hurry when we come here together on Sunday morning is not good. For me to be hasty in my words and in my thoughts as I come into the presence of God, the preacher says, don't do that. Don't do that. John chapter 4, remember, Jesus had an interaction with a woman at the well. They had conversation about a lot of things. What living water was one of them. And he revealed that he is water. There's water you'll never thirst if you drink. And he's referring to himself. Water that wells up to eternal life. They have a conversation about his about her or her husband's. And then they get into the topic of worship. Remember that? She says, well, your people worship in Jerusalem. My people worship in another place. He says, woman, an hour is coming and now is where it won't matter where you worship. For those who worship the Father must worship him in what? In spirit and in truth. And he brings out this amazing truth that it's not the place. You are to worship God in your mind and with your heart according to the truth of God's Word. And he brings that out. Paul says, I shall pray with the Spirit. I shall pray with the mind also. I shall sing with the Spirit. I shall sing with the mind also. It's an activity of the heart and mind. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 14. But let's look at the text. Really, he's talking about, again, the idea of think before you speak. Stop, ponder, listen. He said, first of all, guard your steps. Guard your steps as you go to the house of God. Literally, it means keep thy foot. In other words, you need to be watchful of your conduct. You need to remember where you've been. You need to remember where you are at the moment. Remember what you're about and remember what the moment is about. Guard your steps as you go to the house of God. Now, under the Old Covenant, we know at this time, it's in reference to the temple. That's where God would dwell, right? In Jerusalem was the temple. That's where they would go, and that's where God would dwell. would dwell. I was thinking about David, the story of David. Remember his sin with Bathsheba messed up his family life forever, really. But he has that child, and the Lord strikes that child, the child dies. But remember what David is doing before that. He is fasting. He's doing everything he can before the Lord to beg the Lord for this child to live, his child that he had, or the first child with Bathsheba. But the child dies. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20 reveals what David did after that moment, which always amazes me at his absolute focus on God. But he said, David arose from the ground, washed, anointed himself, changed his clothes, and he came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. The temple. It was called the house of the Lord. It was called the house of God. Now you remember in John chapter 2, the moment in which Jesus was in the temple. The money changers were there, and they were making a profit, and Jesus is upset about that. He's driving them out. He's flipping the tables. And what does he say? He says, stop making my Father's house a house of merchandise. Even at the time of Jesus, it was called the Father's house, the house of God, that place in which they would worship. What about today? I want you to turn, hold your place in Ecclesiastes. Go to 1 Timothy, would you? 1 Timothy. In chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, there's been instruction on deacons and overseers or elders. And then Paul tells Timothy why he writes, verse 14. I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God and the pillar and support of the truth. Notice he calls the church the household of God, the pillar and supporter of the truth. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 4 and 5. Peter says, and coming to him is to a living stone, referring to Jesus, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We know Paul to the Corinthians said, no man can lay a foundation other than the one which has already been laid, which is Jesus himself. Now, obviously, he's not talking about a physical house. Under the Old Covenant, we understand that it was physical. The temple was physical. But he says, now, church, you are the spiritual house of God. You are those who offer up spiritual sacrifices as a spiritual priesthood. That's what we're doing this morning. As we offer our praise and prayers and everything to God, we are offering our sacrifice to the Lord. We are his spiritual house. And there's another element to this that Paul brings out in 1 Corinthians, where Paul says, do you not know that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. So there's the concept, after we become a Christian, that the Spirit of God dwells within us. Oh, he is present. Guard your steps as you go to the house of God. Stop and ponder and listen. Notice back in Ecclesiastes why he says you should draw near. Draw near to listen, verse 1, we're still there. Draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. You see, I can come here and I might be able to fool you on Sunday morning, or even myself. I can't fool Jehovah God. He knows. Why did they approach the place? Why did they approach the temple? They approached to hear. They were supposed to approach to hear from the Lord, to hear from the Word of God. And the preacher says, you approach in order that you might hear. Habakkuk 2:20 says, the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before Him. The Lord said in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11, through the prophet Isaiah, what are your multiplied sacrifices to me? You're offering up the blood of bulls and goats and all these other offerings, says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle, and I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, and goats. I want your heart every day. I want your heart. I want your mind. Draw near to listen. Go over to James. New Testament, James, this great book of wisdom, chapter 1, verse 19. Listen to what James says. James says, this you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. I want to focus on the quick to hear part, because that's what the preacher is saying. Draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. You know, when I go hunting, there are many lessons. I'm always looking for lessons. It's just what I like to do. In your hobbies, you can find lessons. There's always lessons to life. The tremendous highs of a hunt and the tremendous lows of the hunt. But how about listening? I know one thing, those deer and elk will school you in listening. They will teach you a valuable lesson on hearing the way that you should hear, because it's a matter of surviving and not surviving. You see, they lose if they don't hear very well. And if you've ever been in the, and I mean, if you've ever been close to a deer or elk, it's amazing. Their ears pop up like this, and they can hear. Sometimes I wonder if they can hear your heart when you're just dead silent and still. They have tremendous hearing. And I think we can take something from that. When we come together, we need to think like that. We need to think that our survival as the people of God depend on our hearing. How well do we listen? Because that will determine whether or not what comes out of our mouths are what God desires or the sacrifice of fools. And I know, because there's been times where I've offered those foolish sacrifices. God doesn't want that. You've heard me say before, there is a reason why we have two ears and one mouth, but sometimes we don't live that way. We do the opposite. We don't hear very well, but we can sure speak, especially me. We need to watch that. Draw near to listen rather than offer the sacrifice of fools. Let me encourage us this morning. Sometimes, and I can be there too, but you know, every Sunday morning we read Scripture. That's very important. Kent read the Scripture this morning. He only read two verses. They were very important. And when they get up here and they pause and they ask you to turn, I want to encourage you to turn. I want to encourage you to listen to the word of the Lord, because He has a message for you. And hear what He says. Back at Ecclesiastes, he's going to carry on the same train of thought in verse 2. Now he says, don't be hasty, notice. Chapter 5, verse 2. Don't be hasty in word. Oh man. Or impulsive in thought. You've been impulsive in thought before? In the presence of God? We're sitting there and we're taking communion, and Cliff brought to our attention the remembering of Jesus. But I can remember all kinds of things. I can forget what's most important if I don't really concentrate. If I don't really think. And think before I get here about what it is that I'm doing. Don't be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. Now, in the context, I believe this is referring to a praying, offering up your prayers to God. Not only do we need to be careful in our words to one another, but how about bringing a matter up to God? How quickly can I just bring up a matter in His presence without even thinking? Because you see, God is in heaven and we are on earth. And it's important to be careful how we what we say in his presence when we bring up a matter to him. Even Jesus spoke about the idea of vain repetition, the same thing over and over again without thinking about it in the presence of God. Remember who it is we're going before. And then finally, and we're going to stop here on this point, because I think the rest of the verses speak about the idea of paying what you vow. You've heard people say, do what you say you're going to do. Be a man or a woman of your word. It's not always easy. I don't think he's talking about necessarily you and I, but again, before God, what we say before God, we're going to do. Because you see, God doesn't take it lightly when I say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do this, and I don't. God holds me accountable for what I say. You're better off not to even bring it before him, the preacher says, than to bring it before him and then not do it. And that's sobering to me. I know there have been times where I have brought up a matter from the time I become a Christian to now. There have been things I've said and I've not upheld it as I should. But he says, when you make a vow to God, do not be late paying it, for he takes no delight in fools. Pay what you vow. Very, very, very important. Now he uses, you're probably wondering, we're almost through here, he uses the analogy of a dream. What's he talking about with this dream? And I think what he seems to be saying is that, you ever had dreams and how you're restless when you have those dreams, you don't sleep very well? I think he's using that as a comparison of the foolish worshiper wasting his efforts with his many words because he doesn't listen. He doesn't hear. And so he doesn't offer up the right sacrifices to God because he's not thinking before he speaks. So the preacher concludes by saying, guard your steps. Draw near to listen. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be impulsive in your thoughts. And then when you say you're going to do something, he says, do it. I want you to take that illustration that I gave in the beginning with you this morning, this week. When you come here next week, remember that stop sign that I told you about that said stop, ponder, and listen. Let's practice that as we come together before our God. That's this morning's lesson, and we're going to be led in singing at this time by Tyler. We always offer an invitation, and we don't know what your needs are this morning. But if you do have needs, prayers, and you need encouragement, maybe you're ready to take that step in baptism to put on Jesus. We ask you to come forward and do that as we stand and sing.